Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
This show is brought to you by Audible. They are the leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. You know I'm a huge Audible fan because you can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Whether you're at the beach, the gym, or stuck in traffic, there's nothing quite like Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Lutz and sign up today. You are listening to the FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. So what's going on in the world? Are we going to collapse? Are we going to muddle along at the same rotten pace we've been doing for the past 5 years? I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you. But the person you're about to hear from has certainly got a better idea than I do, Catherine Austin Fitz. She's been an insider. She's now an outsider, but looking in very closely. Catherine, welcome back to the Financial Survival Network.
Gary, thank you for having me.
So you talk about the black budget. It's kind of like, I guess you even say it, that there was a silent coup. Somehow this nefarious group of financiers, world controllers, took control of the U.S. economy and thereby the U.S. government, grabbed our money, stole trillions, impoverished a large block of the country, and invested this money helter-skelter all over the globe. Do I kind of have that right?
Well, I would describe it a little bit differently because I think it was a more complex phenomenon. But what I would say is the leadership in the early 90s gave up on trying to achieve financial accountability within the U.S. structure, and part of their challenge in doing so was they had made the leadership had made a decision after World War II to keep the black budget secret and off balance sheet, so to speak. And so a huge financial mechanism had developed in secret that essentially was driving both government operations and a lot of private operations. Now, they made a decision to basically shift money out of government systems, federal, state, and local, and into private hands. And as, you know, call that a reengineering of government, if you will, but it was certainly done outside the Constitution. And I think it was done for strategic reasons. One was to globalize the assets, so saying, okay, we need to pull money out of, you know, unproductive economies and move them into much more productive. And I think we are also making big investments in space and wealth. So a lot of the money went to emerging markets and space. But there's no doubt for the last 50, 60 years, we financed something called the black budget. Huge bets in investment technology. And it's really been behind the one-way mirror. So we've developed a system where the leadership can literally see everything you and I do at a most intimate level. You know, but we can not see where these trains of dollars are going and sort of what's going on.
Isn't that kind of un-American, as we say?
Well, un-American in terms of our official story about ourselves or about what's really going on. So if you look at America has grown to power both, you know, from 1913 on, our most significant way of amassing pools of capital county by county and nationally has been with the use of organized crime, whether it was narcotics trafficking or organized or mortgage fraud or financial fraud. I mean, we have a very long tradition. You know, let's face it, we came here, we killed everybody who was here, and then we took their land for free.
Almost everyone.
So, you know, so that's, if you go back and you look at the economic history of how we got to where we are, there's a long tradition of organized crime and genocide. So, you know, I think part of what's happening is for the last 60 years, let's talk about the average American. In 2001, I was giving a speech to a wonderful group of people, called Spiritual Frontier Foundation International, and they had asked me to give a speech on how the money works in organized crime, and it was designed to explain the corruption on Wall Street in Washington and how it related to the general economy. So I said to this wonderful group of spiritually evolved people, what would happen if the U.S. economy stopped laundering $500 billion to $1 trillion a year per the Department of Justice estimates, not mine?
It sounds like Wall Street would go without bonuses, perhaps.
Well, what they said was, they said, well, you know, the U.S. stock market would drop because that money would go to Zurich or Singapore or Hong Kong, and our 401ks and IRAs might go down, and we'd have trouble financing the government deficit because we'd offend the people who control 50 years of laundered money, and our government checks might stop or our taxes might go up. And I said, okay, let's pretend there's a big red button up here on the lectern, and if you push that button, you can stop all hard narcotics trafficking in your county tomorrow, and, you know, and it'll scale up city, state, country, thus offending the people who control $500 billion to $1 trillion of laundered profits and the accumulated capital thereon since World War II. Who here will push the button? And out of 100 people dedicated to evolving our society spiritually, only one would push the button. So I said to the other 99, why would you not push the button? And they said, we don't want our government checks to stop. We don't want our taxes to go up. And we don't want our 401ks and IRAs to go down.
So hold on a second. So me as a libertarian, I don't want the drug traffic to end. I just want to introduce competition. I want to end the government's use of force to try to stop it. Okay? I want to legalize everything. I want to legalize it all. Why?
The government is doing it.
Yeah, okay. So, I understand that. I know the Bushes. I know the CIA. The CIA runs a magnificent fleet of aircraft dedicated towards expediting the flow of narcotics to where it's most wanted and where they can realize the highest prices. I get all that. But so let's legalize everything, which is why Washington State and Colorado present such a threat to the orthodoxy. So what about that? What happens there?
Let's go back, because I'm not talking about what I want. I'm not talking about what I like.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm talking about what is. I'm trying to describe reality.
Yeah, I understand.
So would I love to see drugs legalized? Yes. But how do you get there when you are financially addicted to drug money? And I don't mean, the reason I tell that story is, I'm not saying that Washington and Wall Street are financially addicted. I'm also saying your neighbors and my neighbors and all of us are addicted. Now, let me describe this. So you get elected, let's make you president in the United States. You walk into the Oval Office, your Karl Rove guy says, well, you know, Kerry, we just spent $1 billion overtly and more covertly to get you reelected. You know, now the American people all want their check. They want their defense contract. They want their, you know, low-income housing tax credit. They want their farm subsidy. They want their Social Security COLA. They all want their check. And so you turn to your Secretary of the Treasury and your Bob Rubin person, and he says, well, Kerry, you better kiss the ring of the people who control all this accumulated money. And so you're in a double bind. And what I've just shown you is, as of 2000, 99% of the most spiritually evolved people in the country will not support you in pushing the red button. Okay, now, so you're in a vise because you're running a financial machinery that globally debases the globe and produces a subsidy for the American people. Okay, now, that's starting to change. The American people are starting to get cut out of the subsidy, and so now they're upset. The boat is going to continue to float because they're being thrown overboard. That's what the abrogation or the debasement of, you know, all the retirement liabilities and assets in the developed world is all about. It's basically saying, okay, you're the turkey, it's Thanksgiving, guess what, you know, big problem. And that's the grind we're in the middle of and what we're going to have to go through. But the reality is, the reason we got here is everybody in America was getting a check, and as long as the party was going to go along, they were going to play along. So let me step back. At the end of World War II, George Kennan said, we have 50% of the assets and 6% of the resources, 6% of the people. The only way 6% of the people control 50% of the resources is to be really tough about it. So So Goldwater runs for president. He says, okay, we got to be tough. We got to drop bombs. And the American population said, no, we don't want to, you know, we're nice Christians. We don't want to drop bombs. So then Jimmy Carter came along and said, okay, well, we better shiver and cut back. And he sat in front of the fireplace. He shivered. The American people said, no, we don't want to cut back. And then the Bushes came along and said, you know something? You're good Christians. Here's your check. Don't ask questions. And everybody said, okay, that's a plan.
Well, something has to give here.
Right. Something has to give. But you know something? What you need to solve a problem is power. Everybody, you know, you can't face a situation. First thing you got to say is, how do I get power over it? And the way you get power over the situation is to look hard at the real economics of what's going on. Okay? And part of it is our own responsibility in having gone along and gone along. I mean, let's face it. The leadership of this country got together and shot the president in plain sight in front of everybody. There's even a film of it. You know, and we let him get away with it.
Yes, we did.
We let him get away with it. That was the big turn. A lot of people, you know, hundreds of people were assassinated trying to get the real world out. Everybody was afraid. They just wanted their check. So we went along, and we've gone along and gone along, because if you go back over the last 60 years, Kerry, there is a history of organized crime, including by government in this country, which essentially at this point involves almost everybody. So we are where we are. What we need to say is, okay, how do we come clean and how do we really change? Because you've got to deal with the fundamental economics. The whole country is dependent on debasing, you know, assets around the globe to keep our party going and to keep the black budget. And the big secret is, you know, trillions of dollars of our assets and global assets have disappeared down the black budget. And the time has come to ask, well, you know, what is this black budget thing? Where is all this money going and what is this about? And one of the things I discovered, you know, because I was very keen coming out of the Department of Housing and Urban Development to understand the mortgage fraud. And one of the things I discovered was if a group of soccer moms get together in 3,100 counties in America, because America breaks down to just 3,100 counties, if the soccer moms get together and they try and back out the mortgage fraud and narcotics trafficking, suddenly they get Tony Soprano coming down on their head, and then they get James Bond coming down on their head. And what you quickly learn is, you know, Tony Soprano is having his way in the neighborhood because he's pouring the money into financing James Bond, aka the black budget.
All right. Well, I want to talk more about that up next. This is Kerry Lutz on the Financial Survival Network, talking with Catherine Austin Fitz on 1230 WBZT.
I want to welcome our new sponsor, Audible. I've been listening to audiobooks from them for over 5 years now. I am a huge Audible fan. In fact, I've bought multiple platinum memberships. Platinum membership, you buy 25 audiobooks at a time. I just got done listening to the first three or four books of the Jack Reacher series, the one you probably saw or maybe you didn't, in the theater, Tom Cruise movie. I mean, just a wonderful book, wonderful series, expertly narrated. And so many times I'm in the car, I get sick of listening to music or news or the radio. I just put my iPod on, plays the book, and makes that trip go by so quickly. To me, this is one of the great things of the information revolution of the internet, is that you can get over 100,000 books on your iPad or iPod or iPhone instantly. Another thing that they have is courses on Audible, the Modern Scholar series. And I've listened to lectures about World War I, Shakespeare, nanotechnology, detective novels. It's so enlightening. To me, Audible is a must-have killer app for the iPhone, the iPad, for my computer. Wherever I am, I'm always downloading these books. Like I say, they're a sponsor, so check them out. They've got a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial membership. Just sign up at www.audiblepodcast.com/Lutz, L-U-T-Z. Again, audiblepodcast.com audiblepodcast.com/Lutz. Sign up today. Like I say, this to me is a dream sponsor. These are exactly the types of things that I like to pass on to you because I'm such a fanatical, over-the-top Audible user. 5-6 years I've been listening, hundreds of books. I used to think I was a well-read person, and it's a little strange when somebody asks you, did you read that book? And you have to say, well, yeah, well, somebody actually read it to me, but they actually did a better job than I could have, so I don't mind it. But my friend Sean Perger up in Vancouver, he listens to almost as many as I do, and he can't get enough. I know you're going to love this company, love their service. I do. So check them out, audiblepodcast.com/Lutz.
We are back, Kerry Lutz, with Catherine Austin Fitz on the financialsurvivalnetwork.com, 1230 WBZT. So, Catherine, you have like a very dark view of the United States, of the real power behind the throne, as it were, that it just kind of, it's kind of just a matter of force and fraud and illusion that there is no democracy. So, obviously, the current occupant of the White House is not running anything. He's, you know, there's a real wizard behind the curtain. Who's really running this this illusory ship of state? I mean, who's the power behind the throne?
Well, here's what I've seen, you know, and I'm like a soldier walking across the battlefield, and every time a flare goes off and I get it, you know, I get a peek of what's going on, but I don't begin to have a complete picture. If you've ever seen the movie Captains and Kings, have you ever seen that TV series, Captains and Kings?
I haven't caught it, no.
Okay, so there's a committee of guys that gets together and makes decisions. John Rappaport calls it the Fractured Kingdom, but you have all these different cartels that run things. So you have the medical cartel, you have the intelligence agency, or military, or biotech, or, you know, health, and I mean, it's on and on and on. So you've got these multiple cartels, and they all have power, and they all compete, and they all collaborate. But it centralizes into a variety of different cross-cutting groups and committees that make decisions. You know, one of them is absolutely the Masons, who network down into, you know, basically quiet societies in every county and place across America. And then, of course, you have the Vatican and their networks, and then you have the Jewish groups and their networks. You know, they all compete and collaborate. I was up in the wonderful Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, and I was up seeing, I think it was the John, and it was the Vatican, the Masons, and the aristocracy competing and fighting and warring. And I finished the play, and I thought, you know, 500 years later, it really hasn't changed that much. Anyway, so it's a very sort of yeasty and organic thing, and the funny thing is, if you look at how many secret societies and how many intelligence agencies there are, you know, the over-management of the economy has reached just incredible an incredible extent. Now, one of the things we're seeing is the groups that have been very savvy about digital technology and telecommunications have leapfrogged ahead, and that's part of what this whole...
That's the Google, Microsoft, Zuckerberg kind of group.
Part of the NSA squabble is about that. And part of it is, if you've just stolen $40 trillion and the Fed buying up all the fraudulent paper has cut the trail,
yeah,
you know, the reality is you need to turn to the bureaucracies that helped you steal that $40 trillion and you need to put them back in their place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the deed is done and now they need to, you know, calm down and be obedient. So so part of that is just the cleanup of the, I think, of the re-engineering, if you will. So, you know, so it's a very organic thing. But let's get back to the black budget.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I found to help you understand the people who are leading things is their challenge is nobody has complete control. Everybody's, you know, working in the prisoners, inside the prisoner's dilemma, and they're all managing risk.
And they're all out to kill each other, too, effectively. They're all enemies.
Well, they compete and they collaborate, and it's a dangerous game. Because if you're, let's say you're in charge of a family pool of capital, and you know, it's an intergenerational pool of wealthy what you've found is the world is a very dangerous place, and you have to be very risk-averse if you're going to navigate the capital and your family through.
Mm-hmm.
So this is tough stuff. But here's what it comes down to, and that is, you know, what is the technology all about? All over the planet, we have, you know, an explosion of sightings of, you know, of somebody who's got anti-gravity propulsion. We have, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But it comes down to who's flying the little UFOs running around the planet. Because there are people who have energy. There are people who have anti-gravity technology. Who are they? Where are they based? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not... We've all been trained in polite society to not ask that question. But the reality is, you know, if you look at all the money that's going into places like Area 51 and financing that kind of technology, you know, the question remains, you know, what's going on? We had Garen McKinnon was a hacker from the UK who hacked into the DoD servers and insists that he saw basically logbooks for Starfleet that the Navy has traveling the galaxy. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but what I'm saying is if you look at the money that's disappeared, that would explain it.
Right. So,
and frankly, if I was running the Anglo-American Alliance, that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, you'd want to have those aerospace planes making the trip from L.A. to Tokyo in 45 minutes. That would cut down on a lot of transport costs and give a real military edge that would tell the other side, you better not screw with these guys if you know what's good for you.
Well, if you look at what Elon Musk has been talking about trains, you know, trains that go 320 miles an hour in high-speed trains,
mm-hmm.
I think they've already built some of that underground.
Yeah, anything is possible.
Right. The amount of money that's gone into underground facilities, just from the evidence that we know of, is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's the problem. You literally, I call it the breakaway civilization, which is a term that Richard Dolan came up with. You know, starting in 1947, you created a financial mechanism, which is the most powerful financial mechanism the world has ever seen, to finance, you know, trillions of dollars of investment in facilities and technology. And you've continued to do that, and you've built literally a parallel civilization. He calls it the breakaway civilization. You know, and the reality is that is getting so big and powerful, you know, it's getting impossible to pretend that they don't exist.
Huh.
You know, because when you see a UFO fly by, and it's clearly not flying around on you know, diesel fuel, and it's clearly got anti-gravity propulsion, the question is, okay, you know,
yeah, what is it?
$59 billion that disappeared from HUD, is that what it financed?
Yeah, and I remember the guy who was in charge of the Lockheed Skunk Works. One time, somebody showed him a picture where it was obviously one of these pulse. His name was Ben Rich, and it was a pulse. Fired pulse powered aircraft. And he said, Ben, what is that thing? And Ben looked at him, and this was 25 years ago, and he said, you only find that out on a need to know basis, and you have no need to know, and I'm not telling you. But it was obvious that this thing was a pulse fired engine, which we still, it's never been told to the American public. And then there's this thing, the Aurora aircraft. So we had the SR-71, not to get back, that was the Blackbird, fastest aircraft known to man. They retired it 20 years ago. Supposedly the U-2 was going to pick up the slack. They wouldn't have retired that aircraft without a suitable replacement. Let's face the facts, right?
Right.
So they had this thing, the Aurora, which they've never to this day acknowledged its existence, but some guy was there, a trained British aircraft observer on a North Sea oil platform. The thing slowed down long enough so it could refuel. He saw it and drew a picture, and that's the best eyewitness report ever. So the thing exists, I'm convinced, but we've never been told. And that's what really upsets me, Catherine, because no disclosure, all this stuff is being done in the name of the United States, but without us being told about it, all this theft is taking place in the name of the United States, but, you know, we don't get told. You know, it's the mushroom treatment for the U.S. public. We're paying for it. We're impoverished as a result of it. You're impoverished. You have less of a standard of living. You're out of work. You know, all these bad things have happened to you so that they can go out to, you know, with a Starfleet or whatever the hell else they're doing. And, you know, it's just wrong.
Well, I would say it this way, because I think, you know, if I had to look back at several critical mistakes that happened in our governance system, was the decision in 47 and 49 when we passed the NSA and CIA Act to keep everything secret. I had a partner at Dillon Reed before long before I got there, who, one of the early partners at Dillon Reed, became the Secretary of Defense and wanted, you know, he was pushing for transparency, and he was, in my opinion, he was assassinated, James Forrestal.
Oh, yeah, so, of course.
So there were people who pushed for transparency. That didn't work. Once you went to non-transparency, you laid the groundwork for this complete bifurcation between one population that's moving at one technological learning speed and another population that's going, you know, at light year, but in a very sort of fascist organization, but, you know, in one sense out of control.
Yeah, NSA monitoring of every communication. They're listening to you and I now, Catherine. You know that we're on Skype and all that good stuff.
Right.
And yeah.
One thing that, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what I can't do, Carrie, is I can't explain events by saying that the people who lead the Anglo-American Alliance are bad. That's not my experience. You know, I can't pretend to you that I was important. I was, I was a partner of a Wall Street firm, but I was a junior partner. I worked in the bureaucracy, but at a junior level.
You're on the periphery.
Right, I'm on the periphery. So I'm on the periphery, but from everything I've seen, the people leading this are not bad people. And they're certainly no more good or bad than the people at the bottom or the middle.
They're just doing bad stuff.
Well, here's the question. Why are they? There's a logical reason why people behave the way they behave. And the question for us, if we want to survive as a species, you know, because to survive as a species, we have to grow. And we're going to have to find a way to get into alignment with each other. If we all sit around screaming and hating each other, you know, we're never gonna solve the problems of the day. So the question is, how do we understand what's going on? How do we rebuild political alignments? Because the reality is, one of the reasons the guys at the top are behaving this way is because they are concerned with risk.
Well, let me tell you the answer. Okay,
uh-huh.
Those people in that room that you described, they weren't really spiritually evolved, because if they were, every single one of them would have pushed the red button. Because when you're spiritually evolved, you say, I will give up my benefit because I know it's for the better of us all to do away with something that works to the detriment of all, even though it provides me a benefit. So I push the red button because I want it to end, because I know that it's evil. And if you can't see that, if you can't see that, then you can't, then you're part of the problem.
I don't believe that's true.
Oh, I absolutely believe it's true.
Here's why. You are facing enemies. Globally.
Yeah, yourself.
And
you're the enemy.
No. Hold on. You don't have control. If you have control, you can push the red button. If you don't have control, you may not be able to, because let me tell you something, Carrie. The crowd supports the guy who has the most power from force and profit, not from spiritual power. So it's a lot tricky. The politics of this are a lot trickier, because people vote for the guy who gives them a check, no matter where the money came from.
Let's just say this, okay? I have a choice, okay? I can sell peanuts on the corner and make $20 a day, or I can sell crack on the corner and make $1,000 a day. Which do I decide to do? That's really what it comes down to.
So what if you believe that if you sell peanuts on the corner, you will not have enough money to do those things you need to make sure that your general tribe, so the Anglo-American tribe, comes out on top?
You know what? Then
you don't have the choice. You didn't have the choice of killing.
Then I don't deserve. But then the tribe doesn't deserve to. If they have to do something evil in order to succeed, then they don't deserve to be on top. It's that simple. All right? Well, you're talking moral relativism here, the greater good requires, you know, indulging in something really evil.
I'm not telling you that, because if you look at my life story, mm-hmm. I've chosen to live in the wilderness and to live on peanuts. I've mm-hmm. risked my life. I've risked my fortune.
Yeah.
I've risked my name.
So you don't believe it. You're the one that would push the red button.
I would push the red button because because
it's right.
Do whatever I have to do to contribute to the excellence of my people.
And because you believe in right and wrong, and because there's some things more important than winning, right?
Well, but we're not talking about winning. We're talking about surviving.
Well, we're talking about winning, really, when you get down to it. But
but if you lose, you die.
Well, no, we're talking about checks. You know, we're talking about your checks stop, so you might have to go get a job.
No, we're talking about managing a large, complex situation where you don't have control and where you are dealing, you know, with a very challenging situation.
I think
bottom and top. What I'm trying to say is we can't solve the problem by saying, oh, they are bad. Okay, I'm not saying that psychopaths don't rise to the top and we don't have, you know, people with questionable values.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that at all. It's rife throughout. It's a disease throughout the entire society. Corruption is everywhere. But
sure.
But what I'm saying is, you and I do not understand the map and the risk issues of the top 10 guys managing this. You know, on behalf of the Anglo-American Alliance, we do not know what it is to sit in their shoes and look at the risks they're managing. And until we do, you know, I, for one, am loath to turn and say, oh, they're bad, and that's the problem.
Well,
because I don't have their map, and I don't understand their risks. What I do know is I can come up with fact patterns and possibilities that says, okay, I understand why they did this. I might not have done it the same way, but I understand why they're behaving the way they're behaving. Because if you think that you've got to keep the black budget secret, and you think within 20 years you got to come up with enough money to, you know, to send space fleets all over the place, then you're going to do what you're going to do, and you're going to have to make, you know, very ugly choices.
Well, if that means poisoning the African-American community and turning... Anyway, I don't want to get into it. We really need to wrap up. But Catherine, you're always inspiring. You always make me think, and that's important. I hope you're listening and you're thinking too, Catherine. Your website, where we find you, where we read your work.
Solari.com, and I just want to say thank you for being a fellow traveler trying to find the truth.
Hey, that's what it's all about. That's why we're here, and that's our mission. That's your mission. And Catherine, we'll talk with you again real soon.
Thanks.
The show is brought to you by Audible. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Would you believe they've got over 100,000 titles in virtually every genre you can think of? And don't forget, you'll get a free audiobook and 30-day trial just for signing up today at audiblepodcast.com/Lutz. That's audiblepodcast.com/LUTZ.
The Financial Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network.